We have some exciting news for our listeners. This summer, 2025, we will be releasing our book, Confronting Evil in Our Time, unpacking the Screwtape Letters podcast inspired by C.S. Lewis. We are making signed first edition copies available for you leading up to the release. To secure your first edition signed copy, go to screwtapeletterspodcast.com and fill out the form to get your book. From Galen and I, we want to thank you for your support and Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible. God bless.
All right, well, here we are back again, Screwtape Letters Podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time, Season 2, unpacking some of the biblical Easter eggs, and we find ourselves here in Letter 22. Ian, how are you doing today?
Life's great, leading up to July 4th. And I don't want to date stamp all of these, but, you know, we're living in our time, and a lot of kids off school, summer's here, and going over the Screwtape Letters and into these biblical truths in here again and again is just a wonderful thing. I just want to fill you in on a listener note I had, Galen, which was actually saying how much they appreciated the way we're delving into this. For our listeners, we know it's the second time around we covered these letters once, and the outputs that we felt was in here, but now all of a sudden, here we are doing the Easter eggs within these letters. But to our listeners out there, thank you so much for all the feedback, for being part of this with us. We're not here just to chat to each other. We're here to engage with you as well. So, you know, keep the feedback coming and keep telling your friends about it, because I think it's doing a net good overall.
Yeah. Well, it's some great content, and I think even going through the Easter eggs, doing a little bit of a deeper dive on passages of Scripture, unpacking some doctrine and theology, and neither of us are the big wig brainiac scholars, so we try to keep it on the practical side as well. That's for both of us, you and I tend to lean, so having a blast with it for sure. So.
Yeah, Galen, you know it's something when we were talking about, and we're going through editing the book Confronting Evil in Our Time, and you were talking about how a priest used to be someone you had to go to if you wanted to get a message to God. And yeah, you know, Jesus came and it became a one-to-one relationship with Jesus Christ to God, who is God. And the way I look at it is everyone should read their Bible and discuss it with their friends. It shouldn't be something that's held for elite pastors and elite students. And obviously, I pay homage to you. You went to seminary and you have done way more than me, much more in depth. But I think it's a great message for everyone out there. Don't be afraid to delve into meaning within the Bible, into the stories, into discussions around it.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's God meets you in his word, and you do not need to be a person who has a degree or is scholarly. There are some really fantastic translations of the Bible that break it down and make it accessible. And when you open the book that he wrote, he meets with you. And it is, it's not something that's reserved just for the pastors or just for the professionals by any stretch of the imagination. You know, it's like that concept that you mentioned, kind of referenced before, is like the priest. We call it the priesthood of the believer. Everyone has a right to go to God, talk to him, hear from him, and commune with him, and that's a blessing.
Yeah, and don't be scared also to disagree on meanings with things with your friends, and then do some delving, look it up, look at other commentaries by other people, and get to a better understanding, because I think this is where God draws you in with this, to actually go deeper. And for anyone who hasn't done it yet, and here's a plug for Hillsdale College, they have the most incredible entry course into Genesis that's free. You can go and do it. If Hillsdale, if you guys are listening out there, I know you have a C.S. Lewis course as well, but your Genesis course, I've turned a bunch of friends onto it, and they all come back to me and say, this absolutely blew my mind how good this was, going into the depth of Genesis this way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good word. That's a good word.
Okay, so letter 22, let's jump in.
Yeah, let's go. So this is a fun one. This one he talks about, we're getting a lot into the fact that the pleasures of life need to be twisted, and that God creates things good, basically, and that it's really the role of the demonic to twist and distort all of the good things that God designed for pleasure, and really, in a sense, pervert them, turn them up on their head, and try to use them and turn them into vices for man. Which obviously we see a lot of the good things in life that we receive with joy and thanksgiving are also some of the strongest vices. A lot of those things tend to operate almost on a spectrum of extremes, and on the one side could be received with in a healthy way. You take something in excess in an unhealthy way, take like sex or food, for example, good things that God created for us to enjoy, done wrong, expressed wrongly or in excess, becomes a terrible vice that can destroy mankind.
Now, absolutely. And if you look at the way they open up letter 22, talking about how the patient has fallen in love, and he's fallen in love with what the demonic says the worst kind of woman. She's happy, joyous, and chaste. Mm. But they describe it in a way where this is the relationship you have with Jesus Christ as well. It's pure. It's unadulterated. It's just absolute joy. And the Easter egg I see in here, and you tie it to one of the Psalms, Galen, is there's a line where it says, "At his right hand are pleasures forever." And he says that after, like you said, saying that all these pleasures God lays out for his people, he fills the world full of pleasures.
God created the world to be a garden where things are beautiful and in harmony. He gave man work. He put in Adam and Eve, and they got to enjoy life, you know, beautiful, naked together, the way a man and woman ought to be. You know, and there's a sense of beauty that God designed the world to be. Sin entered in the world, and that got all messed up. And that's where you see, you know, sex being used as a terrible thing, as a vice that leads people away. You see murder coming into the picture in Genesis 4. You know, you talk about Genesis. And the demonic is always trying to distort the created order to cause man to fall away. And in this chapter, the patient is actually doing really well. He found a good girl. He's got his act together. He's doing pretty well. And the demonic are really getting outraged because this young man is actually starting to experience all the good things in life, the way God created him. And it drives the demonic crazy to see that God created a world that man can live in harmony, in beauty, find meaning and purpose, and enjoy the pleasures of life. And it literally drives them mad. He says, "Oh, he's a hedonistic heart wormwood. He's vile," he says. It drives the demonic mad because all they know how to do is cause angst, pain, suffering, to steal, kill, and destroy, and pull people away from what God created us to have and be and enjoy, which is joy and enjoying life and enjoying his creation.
What I find really interesting about him using this as the main Easter egg, and I think we said we could probably gone a few different ways, but this seems to be the main one, is letter one, the Easter egg's the incarnation. And in here, we've got Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And the pleasures come from the right hand of the Father. It's paying homage to the Trinity. It's paying homage to God and the relationship between God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the plurality in one. And here we have a situation where it's explained to here that, and I think we've all had it, and I think listeners out there, you've had the same situation, that when life's going really well, and there's a sense of calm and there's just a sense of order to everything that you just wish and hope it would last forever. Mm. And you think to yourself, what ends up derailing those situations? You know, it's sometimes a character will enter into the picture who, and that you see it in movies, right? There's people living on a out in the sticks somewhere, beautiful area, all of a sudden a character comes into town, and there's the mistrust. He's not really being honest with them. And I think we see that in our own lives as well. And you wonder to yourself, like, where do these people come from? Is it a demonic force that's being entered into your world to disrupt the calm and the beauty and the pleasures that are at hand? Because sometimes the people will look back on their lives and say, I made my worst choices when everything was going amazingly well for me. And I think I can look back on my life, Galen, and say that I've had some of the similar things. And I think there's also a little bit of a law in the way the world works that if you want to pervert a lot of Christians and bring them into a place where their faith struggles, make them successful and make them wealthy.
Yeah. Because
then you've lost two things. You've lost the struggle and you've lost the suffering. And all of a sudden, everything's on a glide path.
Right.
And so what happens is it either comes from within out, or you get the characters come into the picture that are there to pervert the situation.
That pull you aside, distract you. There's always, you know, in the same way that there's the positive influences, there's a million negative ones. Or sometimes it's enemies. Sometimes it could just be a flat out. And how many Psalms do you read? The Psalms, and it talks about my enemy and those coming against me, and I take refuge in the Lord. You know, there's people that are coming against in different ways. But I think it's a good point. The proverb also comes to mind as you're talking there. There's a proverb that says, it's basically a prayer. It says, Lord, don't make me so poor that I might steal, you know, basically to get food and then defame my God and ruin your reputation. And also don't make me so rich that I say, who is the Lord? I forget him. I don't even need the Lord. You know, keep me in that spot of like, I still need to struggle for it. I still need to work for it. It's actually a healthy thing because that drives you to the Lord. And that really is where this young man in the chapter is finding contentment. That's how he's able to find joy in his relationship. And, you know, this is eventually going to be, you know, a marital sexual relationship. This chapter is a lot about relationships and but it's a lot about a lot of the pleasures, but it drives you closer to the Lord, closer to the throne room, because at the right hand of God is where the pleasures are forevermore. Can I actually read the Psalm where yeah, C.S. Lewis gets that? So C.S. Lewis gets that from Psalm chapter 16, and it's the last verse in that Psalm. It's verse 11. And actually, as I was reading it, preparing, it's interesting that this Psalm, every Psalm has like one big idea to it. And the whole big idea of this one is seeking God's presence in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of needing protection or safety or refuge. And at the very end, it says, the psalmist says, Lord, you make known to me the path of life, abundant life, you know, fullness of life, happy life, joyful life. And in your presence, there is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God created the world for us to be stewards of, masters of, fill, rule, multiply, and find joy at the right hand of God, communing with him. And there's the whole point of this podcast is to help people strengthen their relationship with Christ. And the whole point of the demonic is to pull us away, because there's joy at the right hand of God. And say, even Satan knows it. And that's what we see in the chapter here. It's kind of, you know, the whole point of that Easter egg.
See, I love those two words, pleasures forevermore. The reason being forevermore is with Jesus, there is pleasures forevermore. Without him, you're now on tenuous ground of whether that's actually going to hold. And I think you said something a minute ago, which was about money. And I've talked with a lot of people where, what are you struggling? What are you praying for? And they said, I'm praying for money. And I'm like, what's money going to solve for you? And they're like, well, it's going to make life much easier. And I'm like, yeah, it will do that. But then what? And they're like, well, I don't know. And I said, well, do you ever pray for guidance within work or guidance within your career or Lord, guide me to serve others as a path. And they're like, I didn't think of it like that. I just thinking of like that end result of money. I said, but like, you think about it, like whenever money's mentioned, especially in scripture, it's never mentioned to be held in esteem. Judas's silver pieces, right? Or, you know, the parable of the talents. It's never put forward that like, God wants you to just get lots of money by doing nothing. Mm-hmm. He wants you to toil. He wants, like you said earlier, to work. He wants us to be good stewards of the world around us and wants us to tell other people about the kingdom. And he wants us to help guide those less fortunate than us. He wants us to be charitable. And charity is a huge part of it. And it's charity with your money, charity with your time, charity with your intelligence. Just charity being, if someone calls you at 8:30 at night and you're ready to either go to bed or wanted to sit down and just relax with the family, if they really need you, charity is going to be with them. Because you're giving of your time in a very unselfish way, not just when it's free, when you've carved it out, but when it hits you unexpectedly as well. And you'll see you do that in life. The reflection, the response you get from people is just kind of amazing. And maybe it says to me that we're in a world unlike what they're talking about here with where the world's full of pleasure and God's given us all these amazing things to enjoy. But you actually have a situation where people feel that that's not the case. And I think we've been conditioned within our life to think, or actually maybe even it's through experiences, think that the world's actually more on the dark side constantly rather than seeking out the light and seeking out those things through joy, through the pleasures that God has put in front of us. And I think that the difference for everyone listening between, okay, but how do I know which is which? Read your Bible. Read scripture and get guidance on that relationship. If you're a single man and you're dating a girl, should you be sleeping with her? Look into the book for guidance. If you're struggling in your marriage and you just want to bail and get divorced and leave your kids, look for guidance. I think there's so much you can look for, and especially now with being able to utilize, you know, tools like ChatGPT to get in and ask it a question. Where in the scripture does it say this and that?
Right. It's never been easier to get to really dive deep into the Word. I'll tell you what, there's a big Bible program called Logos or Logos, depending on how you want to pronounce it. It's the Mercedes of Bible study software. And since ChatGPT came out, I mean, that's I use that for Bible study because you can use that as a diving board and then just go deep dive. It'll instantly pull all the passages on whatever you're trying to study. I guess my point is it's become so much easier to really get into the Word, which is essentially it really in a sense being at his right hand. It's one of the ways that we get to experience being at the right hand is spending time in the Word. And I'll say right on the get-go, like, I'm preaching to myself right now.
Right. And Gail, you and I have talked about doing it. And for our listeners, we are going to do an AI in the Bible series, because when you think about AI and the way it hallucinates, the way it makes things up, a lot of people are worried, like, is it making up things within scripture? But I use AI a lot of different of the large language models. And to this day, I found them to be very sincere and true when it comes to dealing with scripture.
Yeah. Yeah. I really have as well, for sure. I trust but verify. And like I said, I like using it as a launch pad, you know, have it pull verses for you, unpack ideas, and then ask it, hey, you know, am I missing something here? Or it really does fill in ideas very nicely, but I think it's very reliable. It doesn't replace the Bible, but it becomes a very powerful tool that, you know, we're foolish to not use in a lot of ways.
And for quick lookups and things like that, yeah, it's really fantastic. So before we wrap the episode, I've just got to say one thing to our audience out there that, and you'll read this in the book, Confronting Evil in Our Time, is that the genesis for our whole episode came from hearing the phrase by C.S. Lewis, or the quote by C.S. Lewis, the devil wanted to make the world so noisy that man wouldn't hear the voice of God. And within this episode, Screwtape turns into, he goes so crazy because we need to make it louder and louder, more like angry and aggressive. And he finally turns into a large centipede. And this is the point. And the last thing I'll leave you listeners with is this. Listen and look around at your own life, your own family's life. How noisy is it? If it's constant, you're going to have a really hard time connecting with God.
Right. I think it's so true. And there's actually a good section in this chapter about silence and enjoying, be still and know that I am the Lord. And I'll admit, I went out on a walk earlier today, and there's something I'm kind of thinking through and struggling with. And then I talked through a verbal process. So I kind of seemed like a maniac. Maybe I should get myself checked out. And then finally I said, you know, why am I stressing and vexing and processing this out, you know, out loud? I need to give it to the Lord. So I literally said, if there was a microphone on me, I'd sound like a madman. I said, all right, Lord, I need to stop trying to solve this in my head, and I need to start solving this with you. And I started praying and I started worshiping, and that was going really well for about 3 minutes. And then I felt myself going back into like a noisy mind of just mind spinning and dealing with
the distraction.
It gets so easy to get back there. And then I pulled my phone out. I said, let me listen to some scripture. And that lasted for 30 seconds. And I said, how does this keep happening to me? That was not the Easter egg we're talking about in this episode, but it's poignant and valid for what you're saying.
Well, no, I think it is relevant because you think about it. How can you be close to God? How can you be close to Jesus
who's sitting on
the right hand? If you can't,
it's like I'm trying to get to the right hand and somebody keeps distracting me, you know?
Yeah.
It's a crazy thing. But at his right hand, our pleasures for an evermore. Jesus created the world. He designed it. When we pursue it with him in the way that he made it for us, God wants to bless his kids and bless his kids richly. He wants us to have joy in life and joy in the Lord. Psalm 116, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand, their pleasures forevermore. So it's a good challenge. It's a good word to us. And we'll wrap this episode signing off the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time. I look forward to seeing you all next time when we dive into letter 23. Take care.